Good morning and Merry Christmas. It's good to have families in here today, sort of. I had a first service, a middle schooler come up to me after the service, and he goes, "Hey, Steve, when you're preaching, could you move over just a little bit? We're getting a really big shine from the light on your head." So he's getting a lump of coal for Christmas, I heard. No, it's hilarious. I think some adult in this room maybe gave him the words to say for that. And so poor Jeff won't have a job next week. No. Well, again, Merry Christmas. Hey, before we jump into the message, just want to remind you about our QR codes up on the screens and on the pew backs. You can scan that or go to our website, lvcc.church, and click on This Week. And it's going to take you to a site where you can register your attendance, you can submit prayer requests, you can check out message notes, not only for this morning's message, but for this evening's message, because it will be a different message, a different whole different service this evening. You can look over our announcements for the week, and there's also a tab for giving online. Well, we are in the midst of a series called Christmas, a celebration of Advent. And that word Advent simply means this. It means arrival or coming. And as Christians, as we've kind of stated throughout this series, Christians speak of Christ's first Advent and his second Advent. Christ's first Advent. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, his first arrival. But Christians also speak of this second advent, that Jesus will once again arrive when he returns for his second coming. And so the purpose of this Advent season really is to remember and identify with those who are waiting on a Messiah to be born, but also for us to be reminded that we are to be alert and ready for the second coming of Jesus. And so it's this time that we live in, that we learn to live in, this time that we call the already but the not yet. That Jesus already came, but that he's coming again. It's just not yet. It's just not yet. But during the season of Advent, we also celebrate several elements of his arrival. We celebrate the advent of hope, peace, joy, and love. 2 weeks ago, we focused on hope, how the people were awaiting the blessed hope of a Messiah, and how they had a hope that he would also return. And then last week we talked about this peace that Jesus brings, this we called it shalom peace, that he would bring back to completion that which was broken by sin, and how Jesus, through his advent, through his arrival and his death and his resurrection, brought peace between us and God. And so this morning we want to focus on the advent of joy. You know, Randy was just kind of talking about this season can sometimes be a season that sucks the joy when it's not intended to do that, right? We're running around, we're anxious about this and that. Some are struggling this holiday season, struggling with grief from the loss of a loved one. And so maybe this season doesn't seem all that joyful. Or maybe we have joy, but it's for all the wrong reasons that we have joy, and it's not going to last. So if you have a Bible or a Bible app, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. If you want to open it yourselves, we'll also have it up on the screens for you as well. But in Matthew 2, we're going to look at there were some people who experienced joy over the birth of Christ. In fact, Scripture says not just that they experienced joy, but it uses the words that they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. And so I want us to see this morning from the gifts that they gave, what brought these people true joy, and what would give us true joy. So Matthew 2, starting in verse 1, says this, that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." So these magi, some call them wise men, they came from far off because they saw this really unique star in the sky, and it led them to find Jesus. Now, we don't know how long this was after Jesus was born that the magi arrived on the scene. Down in verse 11, we'll read later, it says that they came to the house, kind of giving the impression that they did not arrive at the manger scene. But this journey that they were on first took them to Jerusalem, and King Herod got word that they were searching for this king of the Jews. Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report back to me so that I too may go and worship him. Now that's not really what he wanted to do, right? So let me pause here because I want to briefly address a very crucial character in Matthew's account, and that is King Herod. In contrast to the anticipation of the Magi wanting to visit this child born king of the Jews, there stands a very jealous King Herod. And he was disturbed by this news that the Magi had brought him. In fact, Scripture says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. It's kind of like that cliche, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right? If King Herod wasn't happy, then all the people in his land were not going to be happy either. If you were here for our series on the Gospel of Mark, last month we had mentioned how the disciples had admired the beautiful temple complex in Jerusalem. And it was under King Herod, or Herod the Great, that this massive temple complex was built. And history tells us that King Herod was a very, very paranoid man. He was obsessed with suspicions of threats to his kingdom, even to the point of killing some of his closest associates, one of his wives, and at least two, but possibly three of his own sons, because he believed that they were scheming for his throne. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor at the time of Jesus' birth, had this to say about Herod. He said, it's safer to be Herod's pig than his son. And that statement makes even more sense when you look at it in the Greek language, because it's sort of a play on words. The word pig is huos, and the word son is huios. So he was saying it's safer to be Herod's huos than his huios. So what we're getting the picture of, though, is this very, very powerful man, very powerful king, but very disturbed. He was disturbed, and he was marked by fierce jealousy, fear, cruelty, and suspicion, all from this calloused heart. And so we'll get back to in a moment when the Magi actually get to Jesus. But later in Matthew 2, we learn that the Magi did not go back to Herod. Instead, they went a different route because Herod was not really interested in worshiping this Christ child. He was wanting to eliminate him. And down in verse 16, it says that when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi because they didn't go back to him, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So it seems that after talking with the Magi about when they first saw the star, Herod did a little bit of figuring, and in his murderous attempt to kill a newly born king of the Jews, who might one day compete for his throne, he decided to kill all the young boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under. Now, biblical historians say that Bethlehem was only about 1,000 people in population at this time. And so when you include the surrounding vicinity, this would maybe come out to about 30 to 40 boys in this age range. But can you imagine? Can you imagine the anguish of this tiny town as these families lose their sons? Can you imagine this terrible scene as babies and toddlers are ripped from their parents' arms and taken off to be killed? So Herod lied to the Magi about wanting to join them in worship of this child. He ordered the murder of children in Bethlehem when he discovered he'd been outwitted by the Magi. And his fury caused Joseph to take his family, Mary and Jesus, miles away in secret to Egypt to live there for a while until King Herod eventually died. But let's go back to before Joseph, Mary, and Jesus snuck away to Egypt, back to verse 9. Here's what we read. After the Magi had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And then listen to the word that's used in verse 10. It says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Overjoyed. The Magi were overjoyed because they knew that this was the place where they would finally meet this Messiah. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about hope, and we've talked about peace. And we talked about how those who were waiting on this Messiah to be born kind of had a misplaced hope, right? They had hoped for one who would come and defeat Israel's enemies. And last week we talked about how they had kind of had a misplaced concept of joy as well, that this Messiah, they believed this Messiah would rise up from the Jewish people and defeat their enemies, ushering in this earthly kingdom that would bring about peace to their land. We talked about the hope and the peace that Jesus would bring us would be so much better than this. It'd be so much better than an earthly kingdom. Through Jesus' death and his resurrection, he would make peace between us and our Heavenly Father, reconciling us. And that was the true peace, and that was the true hope of this Christ child. And when we think about joy, oftentimes we have kind of a misplaced concept of joy as well. We have this belief that things will bring us joy. That stuff will bring us joy. And especially this time of year, we think, oh, those gifts, what we're desiring, are actually going to bring us joy. And maybe they do for a time, but it's not a lasting joy. But the Magi reveal a different source of joy. And their gifts, the gifts that they gave, revealed, I believe, their true source of joy. You see, these gifts that the Magi presented to Jesus and his family, they had some meaning behind them. They had some significance. And to really understand the importance of their gifts, it's helpful for us to understand Matthew's gospel. So Matthew was written to really bridge the gap between the Old and New Testament and to remind people of what God had said in the Old Testament days and to show how it had been fulfilled and was being fulfilled in their day. That's why the main theme of Matthew's gospel was the kingdom of God. And this kingdom had a king who was worthy of the best that this world has to offer. So the Magi presented Jesus and his family with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi presented this child with gold. Now who gives a baby gold, right? Like, I mean, was it a solid gold teething ring? Was it gold diaper pins? Like, what kind of gold was this? Why would they do this? Well, obviously, someone who was quite wealthy can afford to give a baby gold. Sometimes we hear these Magi referred to as kings. You know, we sing, "We three kings." Now, we don't know how many Magi there were. We just assume there were three because there were three gifts. And we don't exactly know if they were some type of king or not. But it kind of makes sense in light of Isaiah 60, verse 3, which says, "The nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn." But whoever these Magi were, they were obviously wealthy. And so they bring gold. But still, why? Why gold? Well, gold was a gift for royalty. What the Magi were doing when they brought Jesus gold is they were recognizing this child as king. And they were filled with joy because of this. And I think what we learn from this gift is that we can have true joy in making Jesus king. Now, this seems so backwards, doesn't it? Isn't joy found in being number one? Isn't joy in having final authority in my own life? But the Magi celebrated Jesus as king, recognized his authority, placed him as number one. And when we make Jesus Lord, when we live like Jesus as king of our lives, it will bring us true joy as well. Well, next we see that the Magi were presented Jesus and his family with frankincense. What is frankincense? Well, frankincense is the stuff that was used to bring life to Frankenstein. That's what it is. And, no, just making sure you're awake. Frankincense is actually incense. It's just simply incense. And so what was incense used for at that time? Well, again, if you were here for our series on the Gospel of Mark, I spoke a little bit about the temple in Jerusalem. And one of the elements in the temple was a golden altar of incense which sat in front of the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place in the temple. And God had commanded the priests to burn incense on the golden altar every morning and evening, the same time that the daily burnt offerings were made. The incense was left burning continually throughout the day and night, representing a pleasing aroma to the Lord. The incense was really a symbol of prayers and intercession of the people going up to God as a sweet fragrance. So these magi, they bring frankincense to Jesus. They brought an element of worship to Jesus. Why a worship element? Because this was a baby who was worthy of being worshiped as God. Remember back in verse 11, it said, on coming to the house, they saw this child and his mother Mary, and they did what? They bowed down and they worshiped him. And what we find is that we can have true joy in worshiping Jesus. Again, this all seems a little bit backward, doesn't it? It would seem like self-glorification would bring about joy. It would seem like lifting myself up would make me joyful. It would seem like being adored by others would bring me joy. But the Magi, instead, were overjoyed through worship of Jesus, through giving adoration to Jesus. And our worship of Jesus will bring us true joy. So the Magi brought him gold and frankincense. But wait, there's myrrh, right? The Magi presented Jesus with myrrh. What is myrrh? This one's a really odd one. It's odd enough that there was gold and frankincense, but myrrh would be comparable today to embalming fluid. Embalming fluid. It's what they would put on a dead body to help it not smell so bad. Why would you give that to a baby? What an incredibly strange gift to bring to a baby. Why give a baby something that you would put on a dead body? You have new life here and you want to give them something that was to be put on a dead body. Why? It's because the pinnacle of Jesus' life would not be Jesus' birth. I know this time of year we celebrate Jesus' birth, and that's a wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year, some people say. That was not the pinnacle of Jesus' life. The pinnacle of Jesus' life would not be his birth. It would be his death. In John 19, we read that Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes to place on Jesus' body in the tomb. It would be used later on, maybe not this myrrh, but myrrh would be used later on for Jesus' body. This gift that the Magi gave to Jesus was a foreshadowing, indicating the reason why Jesus came. He came to give. He came to give his life to save us. And what we learn is that we can have true joy in knowing Jesus as Savior. As Savior. This is why Jesus entered this earth. He entered this earth to die. To die and to save us from our sins. And so during this Advent season, we light candles to remind us that into great darkness a light has shined. And we were reminded in this season that the coming of Jesus was also the advent of hope, and that he brought peace. And we celebrate the advent of joy as well. This evening we'll talk about these two other candles a little bit more. But this Advent season, we celebrate Jesus' arrival and with his coming, peace, hope, joy. And may we find true joy in Jesus. Not some temporary happiness, but true joy in Jesus by making him king of our lives, giving him our worship and adoration, and knowing him as Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pause at this time of year to remember this arrival of Jesus. And that with him, we could have real hope, something to hold on to. We could have peace, a reconciled relationship with you. We could have a joy that just doesn't make sense in this world with all the grief and the pain and the heartache, that we can still have a joy in the midst of that because of Jesus. Tonight we will celebrate the love that Jesus showed us and gave us. And so God, we are thankful that you loved us so much that you would give your one and only Son. May we be reminded today, though, that true joy will come as we make Jesus out to be who he really is, King of our lives and Savior. And may we worship and adore him. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so before we stand and sing this last song, I just wanna kinda invite you, if you have a decision to make about Jesus, if you've not made him King of your life, Lord of your life, if he's not your Savior, if you don't even know what it means to worship Jesus, if your worship has been something else, we want to invite you to turn to Jesus. And so if you have a decision to make about Jesus, have questions, or maybe just need someone to pray with you, we've opened up our fireside room off to your right here. And during this last song, if you need to talk with somebody, we're going to be over there and would love to talk or pray with you. If not, will you stand and sing with us? Mm-hmm.